Regardless, he says to his wife, verily I feared for my soul. فَقَالَتْ. And so what does she say? She gives one of the most beautiful responses that I think you'll find in hadith. Because it highlights for us tremendous lessons. فَقَالَتْ كَلَّا. She says, never. Never should you fear for your soul. وَاللَّهِ مَا يُجْزِيكَ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste you abada. He will never waste you. إِنَّكَ لَن... Okay, why? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste you? إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحْمِ. Because there are certain characteristics within you, O Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these characteristics will never allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to waste you. The first is, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحْمِ. Verily, you bring together relatives and families. You cause people who are related to stay together. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبِ. And you carry the destitute. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. And you earn for those people who don't have livelihood. وَتَقْرِ الدَّيْفِ. And you host guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبُ الْحَقِّ. And you assist for just causes. You assist in truth. So Khadija radiallahu anha relates five characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says that it's because of these five characteristics that you will never be wasted. Meaning the interaction that occurred between you and the angel Jibreel and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no way that that could be any type of misguidance because five characteristics are found within you. These five characteristics are the five essential characteristics that existed within the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that essentially acted as a magnet to bring about this tremendous blessing that occurs on this particular night. Now we've talked about how blessed this night was. And there are these five characteristics within the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that acted as magnets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that resulted in this change. And because these characteristics were present within the Prophet ﷺ, there is no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would waste him. And so the first was that he brought together families. Now these five characteristics are one of the most important parts of this hadith. Because these are the five characteristics that drew in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree that it resulted in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam earning his prophet or attaining his prophethood and receiving the revelation of the Holy Quran. So these five characteristics are not a historical narration for us. They are five characteristics which we too must inculcate within our lives in order to attain and the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within our lives. The first is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought together families. He kept people who were related together. And so this should be one of the essential things that we do within our life. We should visit our family members. We should keep our families together. We should make sure that if there's a conflict between two people within a family, that we make a full attempt to resolve it. Because when you act to bring families together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually will act to unite you with the family of Islam and the family of the mu'mineen. So we have to make a tremendous effort to bring families together. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and that's exactly what we should be doing. The second thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was that he carried the destitute. He helped those people in need. And so this should also be our way as well. We should seek out people in need and we should help them. Not because we're doing them a favor. We don't do people a need a favor by helping them. But we help ourselves. When you help someone in need, you actually attract a tremendous amount of barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that helps us. That's why we go out and seek people who need assistance. So that we can be helped, because we are actually the ones who are more in need of assistance than anyone. We are fuqara, and we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. So when you help Allah's creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ would earn for those people who didn't have the ability to earn, who had very little. And so this is another sunnah which we should enact. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has so commonly enumerated the benefits of sharing your wealth with others that the Sahaba would work only to earn money in order to donate it to others. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would narrate with such regularity the benefits of helping others that the Sahaba would hear those ahadith and then they would take jobs for the sole purpose of earning money in order to help others. Very different than the reason why we take jobs today. We take jobs because we have long-winded aspirations. Inshallah, 5 years from now, I'm going to live in that house in that neighborhood. And then inshallah, 10 years from now, I should be the chairman of my department, and inshallah, I'm going to purchase that car. So we have these long-winded aspirations, and we work for the purposes of the dunya. That was not why the Sahaba worked. They went and they earned in order to give their wealth to others. Because they knew that when they gave their wealth to others in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bestow upon them a tremendous degree of wealth in the hereafter, far beyond anything they could earn in this world. So we talk about leveraging your equity, they leveraged their equity. They knew that their equity was in the Akhirah. Or their true return was in the Akhirah, and so they used their equity in this world in order to purchase a tremendous reward in the hereafter. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would host guests. This is very important, and it's something that we don't do. Now, what do we mean by hosting guests? Hosting guests means that you take people that you know and you invite them to your home. That's one level. And subhanAllah, mashallah, we all do that. But the truest level of hosting a guest is that you take someone you don't know. You find someone in the masjid, or you find a Muslim that you don't know, that you don't commonly interact with, that you don't have a special connection to, and you bring them to your home. And you invite them as a guest. It's easy to have your friend come over and feed them. That's not the challenge. The hard thing is to find another Muslim who you don't know and bring them into your house only because they're a Muslim. Only because they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring them into your house and feed them. There's a tremendous degree of reward for that. And in fact, if you look at the people who are shaded on the Day of Judgment, one group of people that are shaded, in that difficult time when there will be no shade, are those people who loved only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning they made their friends and they invited their guests and they greeted and they shared with others only because Allah of their connection, their common connection between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last point that Khadija radiallahu anha mentions about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he helped in true causes. And this is something that Muslims unfortunately have left in this day and age. If you look at any good cause, there should be a Muslim leading at the forefront of that cause. For example, the cause of the environment. That's essential to Islam. We talked about last night, one of the teachers mentioned that adab is a very, very broad topic within the deen. Adab includes how you act with your parents, how you act with one another, how you act with Muslims, how you act with non-Muslims. Those are all different types of adab. And there's also an adab as to how you act with your environment. We have been taught in this deen to act with the environment in a certain way. The environment is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an amana that has been bestowed upon us. And we are to use it in a certain way. Look at the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he sees one of the companions making wudu at a river and he tells that companion, do not waste water as you make wudu. SubhanAllah, that's an incredible hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to that companion, despite the fact that this entire river is flowing full of water, you should be careful how you interact with the environment, because there is a certain adab between human beings and the environment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed them through His mercy. Now, all this recycling movement and the Greenpeace movement and the Save the Earth movement, that's the job of the Muslims. Instead, we sit back and we watch all these other people benefit. They take the forefront and they are helping and assisting in a true cause, and Muslims stay in the back. And in fact, Muslims are nowadays the biggest wasters. They use recycled products more than anyone, and they have been destroying the environment in so many places throughout the Muslim world. What a shame. What a shame that in causes of truth, we don't stand up. And then in causes of batil, we're the first ones to establish establish the tradition. Now, I live in Chicago, and in this day and age, in Chicago, one of the biggest things is Muslim weddings. When Muslims get married, how they have their weddings. And the people of the hotels of Chicago, the Hilton and the Hyatt and all these places, they say that the Muslims are at the forefront of how weddings are held. What a waste. In places of Israf, where money is being wasted, time is being wasted, effort is being wasted, Muslims are at the forefront. Any Muslim walks in the door to book a wedding, every hotel is after them and calling them and asking them to book their wedding with their particular hotel. Because they know that the Muslim is going to spend $50,000 on extravagance for 3 hours of entertainment. It's amazing. We've completely flipped the paradigm. Where the Muslims should be in the forefront, the Muslims have stepped back. And where they should have stepped back, they've put themselves in the forefront. And so we should be very, very careful as to how we choose to spend our energies in this world. Now, these five characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these characteristics were the essence of what acted as a magnet to draw in the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now imagine the change that's occurring. This night is a night of change. This night is a night when humanity will never again be the same until the day of judgment. The final messenger, with the final revelation, with the final deen, is being established on this particular night. And it's this combination of characteristics and qualities that brought about the incredible barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have this man who brings people together, who hosts guests, who is at the forefront of causes of truth, and who acts within his community in the most responsible manner, subsequently seeking out a tremendous degree of worship by spending time in the cave of Hira. All of that comes together to then act as a tremendous magnet to bring in and draw in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which then resulted in this tremendous change that was to occur on this night. This is the model of our change. This is the model of becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bringing change into our lives as well. We have to do these things. Draw together our families. That's extremely important. Earn for the poor. Help the destitute. Host guests and be at the forefront of causes of truth. If you combine these things with periods of worship within your life, where you take out time for the sake of worship and you spend it deeply reflecting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will then be able to attain the goals that you have within the deen. This is what the Sahaba did, and that's why they attained their state, and this is what those people that came after them who attained a nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did as well. This is the essence of this hadith. This is what it's all about. So what we need to do in this... There are certain times when you'll be active in these things, bringing people together, hosting your families, helping out in causes of truth, and there are other times when you will be spending time in worship. Each has its own place. We have people who make the mistake of being active and not developing their worship. And in the end, they end up losing that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have another group of people that worship but they're not active. And in the end, they lose out on a certain degree of barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a balance. And that balance has to be judged by you and your teachers. So you go to your teachers and you say, I'm currently in this spiritual state. This is the state of my deen. And so the teacher may say, okay, you need to spend X period of time developing your worship. And at other times, the teacher might say, you need to spend X period of time interacting with people. So it's a balance. It's a very tight balance. And it's really unfortunate that in this day and age, some people, they overdo the ibadah. And they end up missing out. And there's other people, they overdo the activism. You call them for a meeting, they're ready to do it. You call them to pray or to spend some time reading the Quran and they don't even want to open the first page. So that's not a connection with Allah. That's just a connection with busyness. And that's not the goal. The goal is that you be connected with Allah and then you interact with other people with that connection in mind. And this is a very detailed discussion and we'll go into some more details inshaAllah in our next meeting. I think what we'll do is stop at this particular point and then inshaAllah we'll continue on with the remainder of this hadith. So we've covered about 50% of the hadith. And then we'll recap some of these points since this is the essential portion of the hadith. And then we'll continue on and complete the hadith in our next gathering. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ